place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola.
Healing after abortion. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. The hope that we have that even though we can't undo one day of the past, there's hope for us in the future, even if we've been involved with abortion. And it's a really difficult thing to grasp if I just say that to you and ask you to take that on blind faith. But that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is how that can possibly be true and how you can possibly access that and make that real in your life. You know, there are many things about faith that are hard to believe, right? I think John MacArthur wrote a book titled Hard to Believe. And one of them is that by placing faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved from an eternal separation from God, saved from damnation and doom. And I heard a remarkable story this week about how someone decided, make the decision, yes, to place their faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. And I want to share this with you as a starting point for our discussion tonight, because you'll see how this applies, I hope. He said he was walking down the street. He was active duty military in Germany many, many years ago, walking down the street. And I don't know whether he was in uniform or if he just looked American. Anyway, he was in Stuttgart, walking down the street, and he said a man came running out of a shop and grabbed him by the shoulders and said, "Do you know who Jesus Christ is?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Do you want to be saved?" And the man said, "Yes." And he looked at me, and he was telling me the story, and he said, "The man just seemed so desperate." He said, "Come with me." And so they walked into his shop, and he gave him some Bible verses, and it sounds like he took him through the scriptures that's known as Romans Road. We may go through those for you tonight if you're interested to know them. It's a series of five chain references in the book of Romans that help someone who doesn't know about the saving grace of Jesus Christ to understand what that is, the promises in scripture. He took him through these scriptures, and he asked him to pray, and they prayed together, and he said, "You know, I was saved." And he knows it as a fact. He believes it with all of his being. And I say this to you because what struck me so much about the story was that what persuaded him, if you will, what made him decide to go in and listen to what this man had to say to him, was not anything about himself. And it wasn't any eloquence or great persuasiveness on the part of this man. He said he just seemed so desperate. It was almost as if he was helping the man witnessing to him, because he was so desperate that he would be saved. And I want you to know that I have this same feeling of desperation when I think about preventing anybody from going through the need to be healed from an abortion. You know, last week when we talked about the Kermit Gosnell trial, I don't know if you went and looked up the information that the grand jury found in that case, including cell phone pictures of the bodies of the babies that had been aborted at late term, certainly viable children who were killed after their births. But it's shattering. It's shattering to see these images. And I am desperate that you would never have to feel as though you had participated in something that would hurt a child in this way, your child in this way. And if you have, and you've somehow found the courage to tune into this program, I'm desperate that you would be healed of it, and that it would be something that you would see that God has in mind for you to have peace about. One of our guests tonight is Linda Cochran, and really the whole field of post-abortion ministry owes Linda a great debt of gratitude for the Bible study that she wrote in 1996 or 97, Forgiven and Set Free. And Linda is an RN. She's the executive director of the Hopeline Women's Center in Monroe, Connecticut. And she also is the national leader for CareNet, which is an umbrella organization for pregnancy care resource centers on this area of post-abortion healing. And Linda, it's such a pleasure to meet you and welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Kim. It's an honor to be on with you.
And as I understand it, some 13, 15,000 men and women, you have a companion study for men, 13 to 15,000 people go through this Bible study every year that we know of, right?
that we know of, yes. And let me just say from the start, it's just wonderful that there is a radio program dedicated to this subject. You know, when 29 years ago when we started looking for things to heal our broken hearts, you know, just the whole idea that there might be a whole hour on radio dedicated to people who might have been suffering or crying out to help is just wonderful. It's a great idea, Kim. I'm so glad you're doing this.
Oh, well, it's our joy. And, you know, we have those radio stations that are airing the program to thank for it. And really, it is a labor of love for all of us. We're all here just by God's grace. And so I really do want to thank you, Linda, for, you know, having the insight and the wisdom to put together this Bible study, which has now, it's been tested over 17 years and has been effectively helping people know that they have peace with God. And I want you to start, if you will, by just sharing your story of what happened in your life that motivated you to want to reach out to others so that they could access healing.
Yeah, well, this study is actually older than 17 years. It started out as a Bible study called Women in Rama in 85, I started writing it. We were in, my husband and I had just moved to Tucson, Arizona, and we had a woman from a local pregnancy center come to our church, and she was looking for volunteers. And we had just moved to this town, and my husband was getting a little worried about me, if I was going to be able to fit in and find some friends, and he could already tell that, you know, this is a big move away from all the way from New York to Tucson. So he went up and volunteered me. And so when the woman, the director, called me that week and said, "Linda, why do you want to volunteer?" And it was the very first time I ever said out loud that I had had an abortion when I was 17. And just that one act just set a chain of events that have 29 years later, just been a big part of my walk with the Lord. I was only 6 months older than the Lord when we moved to Tucson. And the director, had, in her wisdom at that time, there was only one thing that she knew of for women that had been through an abortion, and that was a group called WEBA, which stood for Women Exploited by Abortion. So they met monthly, and they were having a meeting that very week. So I went to that meeting. I was the only one that showed up that night, very reluctant to go in, and it was the very first time I ever shared my story out loud and with these other two women who had been through an abortion. And so it was such a moving experience for me that all I could do was cry that whole night. And they just were so kind and compassionate and listening to me. And then they suggested that perhaps we should meet weekly just to help each other, all three of us, get through healing, especially the strong emotions that we are having, the anger and the sadness and the grief. And because my background was psychiatric nursing, they suggested that I should probably lead that. So in leading it, I thought, you know, maybe we should have homework every week. And that's exactly how the Bible study got written, when I would sit every afternoon to just read my Bible and look into the scriptures on how I felt and found the answers. And as a new believer, I was so thrilled to find that the answers that I had been looking for healing of my own heart and for the hearts of those that were depressed and saddened and grief-stricken and guilt-ridden were right there in the Bible.
Mm, Beautiful. Our guest is Linda Cochran, and we're going to take a short break. And as I say, this has been a foundational Bible study for so many people who are now healed and are proclaiming the message that God is not angry with you. God is for you. God is the lifter of our heads. And there is peace with God possible after abortion. Forgiven and Set Free is the Bible study that she's written, and she's remained very active in the pregnancy help movement. We'll be back right after this.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola.
Every woman who experiences an abortion, there is a man and family associated. It is also common that post-abortion stress syndrome will follow. PASS affects families, athletes, relationships, women, men, and students. PASS does not discriminate.
We are talking tonight with Linda Cochran, who is the author of the Forgiven and Set Free Bible study that tens of thousands of people have been through as a healing experience, as being forgiven of the abortion in their past and set free from the grief and the guilt and the shame which follow in the aftermath. And Linda's got a background in psychiatric nursing, and I think, Linda, that helped you to help people understand this concept of post-abortion stress syndrome, which remains controversial all these years later. But from a public health standpoint, from your nursing background, help us understand what post-abortion stress syndrome is.
Well, if you go through a traumatic event and you don't have any way to process that, what happens is it gets repressed and stuffed down, and you know, it has a way of coming back in different ways that maybe if you had the opportunity to grieve a loss right then and there, to process your thoughts and your emotions about a trauma, but when you don't, it turns into something that's deeper and more, it would go maybe more depressed, more grief, more guilt, and your thoughts around the whole event are—they're going back and forth by trying to be shoved back into the back of the file drawer of your mind, and then all of a sudden you'll have a trigger of a memory, and there it is again. Then you try and push it back again, then it comes to the surface until finally you have a time where you can really like, this is what happened, this is how I felt about what happened, and this is how I'm going to embrace what Jesus Christ says about what happened, and I'm going to believe that he forgives me. I'm going to believe that, yes, that was a life, but I can grieve that life, and I can come to terms with the loss, and I can forgive the people in my life that hurt me at that time, perhaps abandoned or rejected, and the whole process of healing from post-traumatic stress or post-abortion syndrome or post-abortion stress, whatever you choose to call it, is really a process of going through what happened and how we are going to embrace the truth about what happened. And
you know, Linda, the word that really jumps out at me as I'm listening to your answer is this word trauma. Because in my case, the abortion, I was 23 years old, and I was so typical of what the abortion industry would say a good outcome looks like. You know, so I was 23 years old. I got to continue in my career as if nothing had happened. I was in the launch phase. You know, I was nothing happened to me physically, so it wasn't physically traumatic, et cetera, et cetera. So for a long time, I mean, it took me 23 years to come to terms with the abortion spiritually, And just what you've described went on, you know, denying it was having an impact on me, then feeling a lot of despair, but distancing myself from all of that and trying somehow to keep it all straight in my heart and my spirit. But I think that, you know, to understand that every abortion encompasses a trauma, because for the woman, you've been present when someone died.
Yeah.
And I mean, help us understand why it's so important that we understand that there's a trauma attached to every abortion experience. Even if the woman, because I've talked with a lot of women who, for example, had anesthesia, they have no memory. So how could I have been traumatized? Right? So, but I really believe, and I'm guessing that you might also, that there's a trauma attached to every abortion. And if so, why is that so?
Well, the way that God created us was that we would, after conception, give birth. And then if it was a healthy pregnancy and it came to terms and there was no illness. But when you have an abortion, it's like you are interrupting a process that God created that is so physically traumatic that the suction is like 29 times stronger than a vacuum cleaner machine. It is actually pulls the trauma on the womb. So there's physical trauma. There's emotional trauma, because no one wants to have an abortion. No little girl says, you know, when I grow up, I want to have an abortion. You know, everybody is planning to have a baby. So there's some kind of emotional in your life, emotional rejection or abandonment, or there's just, this isn't the right time, or my career or my schooling or whatever. So there's like a great loss of that dream of, or expectation that there would be a child, and there is no child.
800-811-3003. I know some of you listening have benefited from this Bible study, and I know you would relish the chance to just say thank you and hello to Linda Cochran, the author of Forgiven and Set Free. It has been, as she mentioned, the material has been in use since 1984, really groundbreaking. Really that first generation of women who were starting to really feel the impact of what legal abortion had done in their lives. And I can't tell you what it means to me personally that you are still working in this field, still working in the field of preventing women from having abortions through the Hopeline Center that you're connected with, and still helping to train people to offer this Bible study. Linda, this is a difficult ministry area. How do you keep your spirits up? How do you maintain your a positive outlook with the, you know, the pain that's encompassed around ministering to people who are suffering after abortion?
I think it's the transformation that women feel at when they go through the healing. Like, you have a group of women, especially in a group, you know, when you start, and they're all, the looks on their faces, you know, they're scared, they're ashamed, and then by the end of the group, they're just so free, you know, and I live for that freedom, to see other women free and filled with the joy of the Lord, so that they can walk in freedom and forgiveness. It is a gift to be able to see that. It is, I think it's one of the things that God meant when he said, you know, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, that we just don't stay in one place. Okay, this is the day that I got saved, and we never grow or change. You know, I just long to see women free and walking in freedom and the truth that they don't have to be weighed down by the guilt and the shame and the grief anymore.
Linda Cochran is our guest. Linda has a background in psychiatric nursing and also in the pregnancy help movement. But what is it that you most want to understand? Where is it that you feel you most need the healing? For me, Linda, the answer was in my relationship with God. And I love it that really that's the approach that Forgiven and Set Free takes, that you start right there helping people understand who God is. Because I think a lot of times, you know, it's a big misconception about, you know, fearing God in the wrong way, fearing God in a self-protective, cowardly way. In my case, I use the word coward about myself. I don't know, I can't look into anyone else's heart, but I love it that you start there to try to educate people about who God really is.
Yes, that is the basis, really. That was actually the last chapter that I wrote, because what I realized as we met is that in order for us to trust God with our healing, we had to know who He was and what His response was going to be when we poured our hearts out to Him. And when I looked into the Psalms and found that He was going to be there, yes, He was the God that was there. He was the God that cared. He was the forgiving God, the God that was wanting us to come and just pour it all out to Him and lay our burdens down to Him, that it helped women in our first small little group to know that this is a God you could trust with your pain. And He is the God that you can trust.
As you hear stories through the years, you know, I'm always so struck at how unique every story is. And yet there's also a thread that runs through the stories. How would you, for somebody who's not been impacted by abortion and who's not gone through it, I'm still amazed when I read through, I subscribe to a lot of news feeds to prepare for the program. So I'll read, I'll have a news feed on articles about abortion or about pro-life issues, et cetera. And while we can really see the underbelly of what really people believe when you read the comment sections on news websites, right? it's not for the faint of heart. You have to have a really strong stomach, especially on this topic, because there is just a lot of judgment for people who have not experienced abortion. There's a lot of righteous indignation, that these women took the lives of their children. How can you suggest that we should have sympathy toward them, et cetera? What would you say for someone listening tonight who just doesn't understand the outreach to people who are feeling devastated, feeling remorse, feeling regretful after an abortion?
Well, that is a really good question. And, the truth is it does exist. And you have seen it, and you've seen it in the news feed. And, I've seen it in person when people have, approached me with that same, almost attitude, like, why should you help them? Not knowing that I was post-aborted myself and, almost judgmental, so it's like the compassion of Christ is just really what we're called to be. And people need to remember what they've been forgiven for, in order to be able to extend that same forgiveness to others, and that I think those that don't understand what they've been forgiven for tend to be, judgmental towards others that have been through some traumatic experiences or experiences where they might think that, well, that was of your own choosing, so, why are you feeling so bad? But there's a great cloud over in a veil, or like a veil over the minds of people, because our culture has allowed this. They've allowed this, so therefore there's like a ambivalence on. I can remember before I just was trying to decide whether to go for help or not, and it was like, well, if I say that abortion hurts, I'm going to be saying that there might be something wrong with abortion, and if there's something wrong with it, maybe it shouldn't be legal. And then if I go to the people who are against abortion, are they going to be against me because they're against abortion, they don't want abortion to be legal? And you know what? There is truth in all of that. I have run across women that have not been through an abortion, but they have joined the ranks of becoming leaders and being trained to help others be set free from the trauma and the grief and the guilt. And I've met people who have had abortions that feel like they can't let go of it, that they deserve to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
That it was such a grievous sin. But understanding that Christ went to the cross for all sin will help all of us to embrace the truth that Christ died for all sin.
I love the way that you put that. First of all, you eloquently describe the double bind that women find ourselves in after abortion, but you also point us to compassion for people who don't understand, not only don't understand us, but don't understand the full mercy of Christ because maybe they've never experienced it as we have. Stay with us. Our guest is Linda Cochran. We're talking about her Bible study, Forgiven and Set Free, as well as post-abortion healing. Linda has a background in psychiatric nursing and in the pregnancy help movement. I'm Kim Cotola. It's 31 minutes after the hour, and this is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola.
I was involved in a pregnancy when I was way too young to be, and we made that decision together. Even today, this is like 10 years ago, even today there are times that, you know, I think about it, and, you know, it's one of those things that doesn't particularly put me in a good mood when I'm thinking about it. So I have no idea how women relate to that, but I know that it was something that bothered me.
The clips that we're listening to tonight are from a documentary, Forgiven and Set Free, which tells the stories of people who have been through the healing study using the curriculum. Linda Cochran is our guest tonight. She's the author of Forgiven and Set Free, a post-abortion Bible study for women. Tens of thousands of people have been through it in the last decades. And Linda's also the author of a companion study for men, Healing a Father's Heart. The title right in front of me, Linda, forgive me, is that the correct title, Healing a Father's Heart?
It is. No, you've got it right, yes.
Yeah, and so the outreach that you have is comprehensive. It's just a women's issue, but I want to continue to talk about, and maybe this is true for women and men, or maybe even more so for men, but about the emotion of anger after abortion. You know, what I see in abortion is that it becomes this amazing mirror to our soul. You know, however, whatever it was that you did in responding to the unintended pregnancy, you cannot avoid what it teaches you about yourself as you look back on the experience. And recently I was on an airplane, and a mom and a kid were reading a book together, and it was a very pleasant conversation. The child was very well-mannered, young, maybe 3 years old, and very talkative. And at one point, as they were reading the book, the child looked up and said to her mom, Joey, I forget the character's name, Joey's mad at you. And mom said, what did you say? And she said, Joey's mad at you. And mom said, you shouldn't say that. That's very unkind. Why? To be mad at you is unkind, mommy? That's right, she says. Now, the kid wasn't hitting her or acting out. It was simply, you know, trying out, is anger okay? It seemed to me from across the aisle. And mom just shut it down, like anger is unkind. And yet, Linda, you say early on in the Forgiven and Set Free material that anger is a symptom that we experience after abortion. What do we do with that if we had that same conditioning, that it's just not okay, it's unkind of us to feel anger ever?
Well, you know, that is where the Bible just really helped me to understand some of the principles around anger, because that is the kind of home that I grew up in, and to see that Jesus displayed anger in the temple when he overturned the table. It was a righteous anger, in that if things are wrong, that we have a right to speak up and speak out about that. You know, we don't have to just pretend that it's not happening or go away or just be nice. But, you know, and you know, also in the Bible it gives us a word where it says, don't let your sun go down on the anger. And that is probably one of the things that happens the most in abortion, that we have this anger that just lingers for years because we were told that something was going to be safe, was going to be legal, safe, and over in 10 minutes, and you can get on with your life. And we're left with this feelings of like, wow, it's not over. And for a lot of people, it wasn't safe. They're left with some physical injury. And the whole atmosphere around it just leaves one feeling as if there is nothing ever really pleasant about an abortion experience. So it leaves a feeling like just with this all this big bucket of emotions, like, okay, what do I do with this? And I'm very surprised that I have these feelings because it was legal, and why is this feeling so bad? And not being able to process those feelings does lead to some angry feelings, and that's why the first groups back in, you know, the late 70s and early 80s were about women exploited by abortion, victims of abortion. You know, people were like, wait a minute, I feel victimized here. I was sold this product, and this is what I got. And now I don't know where to go. Who do I say that this hurts? Who do I tell that this is not the product I wanted?
Hmm. And so, Linda Cochran's our guest. Join us. Our phones are open at 800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio, 800-811-3003. You may remain anonymous. You don't have to give a name. Please just join our conversation, especially if you need help tonight, especially if it really fit when Linda described people feeling too afraid to even speak at their first meeting. I know. I've been there, too, and Linda knows, and I hope you sense the gentleness in her spirit as we invite you to join our conversation tonight. And if you're not even feeling gentle, if you want to express your anger, as we've just been discussing here, just join us. We would love to hear your voice in our conversation. 800-811-3003. How does anger impact men? Is it the same for women and men after abortion in your experience, Linda?
Well, men are a lot more outward in expressing their anger, so it is present. It is a little bit closer to rage than for women, and they do have a lot of, you know, they tend to act out their anger in physical behavior. So there's a lot of, you know, borderline abusive behavior that happens sometimes after because they don't know where to go with their anger either. They feel powerless and helpless, especially the men that actually wanted to have the baby but felt like they had no voice. Their anger is very strong because they're helpless. And they're powerless, and they've been left out of the decision. For those that were pressuring the women, afterwards they can tend to feel very guilty, and that can mm-hmm. lead to very strong anger because, what did I do? Why did I put so much pressure on her? Why was I so scared? Why didn't I stand up to my family mm-hmm. or whoever was putting pressure on them?
And as we're talking about men, we did have a call off the air. Someone didn't want to come on the air with us, but they did want to see if you could, if you can say about organizations to help men in particular. Where might somebody find your Bible study for men being offered?
Well, you can go through your local pregnancy center, where they may have, depending on where you're calling from, groups for fathers. You can also go online to a network called Men After Abortion Network. So it's the MAN Network, I think it's MAN.org. But if you search Men in Abortion, you will come to lots of different programs in the areas where you live.
Sure, and we've had Guys for Life's Kurt Ramspot on. We have links at our website at cradlemyheart.org. But the pregnancy help centers are a great place to start. And just look for post-abortion help for men, as Linda suggested. If you Google it, you should be able to find some help. 800-811-3003 is our number. So, Linda, Where do you think things stand now from a nursing standpoint? I know that, you know, as we've discussed here, the double binds are everywhere for women and men seeking help after abortion, because the abortion industry is taking the stance that it is a safe product, and they've actually published a lot of information saying the overriding emotion women feel is relief. The majority of women do not experience any adverse emotional or mental health impact. You're qualified to answer those statements as a medical professional, as a nurse, and with a psychiatric nursing background. Where do you think it stands in terms of the abortion industry disclosing the truth about the product that they're offering people? Are they going to start doing that? Is there any hope for that?
Well, I don't think our hope for that will rest with them. I think that it will rest with the grassroots organizations that will be answering the cry for help, because their industry is based on the financial income that's coming to them based on the fact that this is good for you and this will help you and this will be better. But if you start saying, well, you might have trouble afterwards, people might start questioning that, and then they might not choose abortion. And then the whole economy around abortion is going to be affected. So I don't think that we could look to them for help for that. There are a couple of organizations that now do say, yes, it is killing a baby, if this is what you go in saying that, but we are going to have a little memorial service for you afterwards. And they might address the grief in there, but they're not going to address the wrongness of the act, like the taking of a life. So
I think Tiller's facility did that in Kansas. They would offer women some sort of a, as you say, a memorial service, especially if it was late term and it was very apparent to everyone that this was irrefutably a baby.
It's
hard, because when that happens, I mean, I won't deny anyone a funeral for their child. I mean, that's not the problem. The problem that you and I are sensing with this is that, as you said, you can't skip over the fact that it's wrong and then try to offer help. And, I mean, I think what happened for me is, as everyone kept trying to appease my guilt, it increased the mental health aspect of my distress, because I couldn't reconcile that. Well, if I didn't do anything wrong, I shouldn't still feel guilty, yet I know I do, so there must be something wrong with me.
Yes, I felt that exact same way. What is wrong with me that I can't process or feel good about this thing that people, especially feminists, fought long and hard to bring to legal, to make it legal for us? And why can't we just, you know, why am I still trying to work through it?
Well, I agree. There are grassroots organizations out there that are helping. And, Linda, I just want to thank you so much for sacrificing some of your Sunday evening. I know it's late, and at the end of the week, we really appreciate you being on live with us. And I want to give you the opportunity to just say a prayer for us before we say goodnight to you, so that you can share the hope that you have, so that you can maybe start someone listening tonight on their healing journey.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to, Kim. And again, I do want to thank you for doing this. This is just wonderful to have a place, a safe place, to call in and maybe talk about what you're feeling. And I know that through your book, too, that you understand what the healing process is, that you've been through it, and that you are committing your life to seeing others to be healed. So thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
I take that as that's very meaningful coming from you, Linda. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what it is you do offer everyone that comes to you, Lord, a full pardon. No matter what we've done, there is no sin, nothing that is not covered by your precious blood. And Father, I just thank you for the healing that you have offered Kim, for the healing that you've offered me, Father. And Father, without it, we would be in deep, dark places of despair. But yet you gave us an opportunity to walk in your light, in your freedom. So, Father, I do ask that you would bring all those that are listening, that are still looking for that place of hope and healing, Lord, that you would help them to find someone wherever they are, Lord. Wherever they are, Father, whether it's a pregnancy center or their church or a counseling center, that they would find someone else that they could walk alongside and come to a place of healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Linda. We appreciate you making yourself available. I'm sure we're going to call you again in the future. I hope we can.
You can anytime, Kim.
God bless you, and have a good week ahead.
You too.
Linda Cochran is the author of several books, including the groundbreaking Bible study, Forgiven and Set Free, and the companion study for men, Healing a Father's Heart. We are going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with Nancy Kingston, who is director of a local pregnancy center in the Atlanta area, to talk about setting the stage for avoiding abortion by strong mother-daughter relationships. Stay with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. It is 49 minutes after the hour, and we'll be back after this.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola.
I have heard about post-abortion stress syndrome, and I mean, I guess it's something that, you know, usually happens after having an abortion, you know, for somebody who didn't expect for it to be that way, you know, thinking, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and have an abortion, you know, and then, you know, later all of these feelings come along with it, you know, you don't know what's going to happen after.
Nancy Kingston is joining us now, and Nancy is Executive Director of Atlanta Pregnancy Resource Center, and we're going to talk about an event that you have coming up, Nancy, but I want to just briefly touch on your work as someone who is on the front lines helping women make the choice for life in the pregnancy help movement, just helping women who are in unintended pregnancies, now helping couples. The ministry has expanded over the years. But what, you know, this idea that we need to be healed after abortion has a practical application when someone shows up at your center wanting to volunteer. Share with that, and welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio, Nancy.
Thank you, Kim. It's a delight to be on tonight with you and to have listened to Linda and you discuss this very deep and complicated issue, isn't it? There's
yes.
So many levels that abortion touches before and afterwards, of course. And yes, we this ministry's been going on for as long as Roe v. Wade, and we do have women both who have not experienced abortion and who have experienced abortion come forward with a heart to minister to women who are right at that decision-making time of what they should do with an unplanned pregnancy. And our policy, and I think it's a very well-thought-out policy, of course, is to, for those women who come to volunteer and who have had an abortion experience in their life, if they have not gone through a Bible study or they've not gone through a very intentional healing experience over that abortion, we ask that they do that before they are in a counseling situation, or I should say a consulting situation with clients making that decision, so that they are sure that, and we are sure that the clients themselves are in a conversation where that healing has taken place and that counselor, that volunteer, is in a place of freedom and forgiveness, so that she's not bringing her baggage or her past or her unresolved you know, experience with her, of course we would want that to happen so that she's offering the comfort with which she's been comforted to that client. So.
Amen. Well, and Nancy, I appreciate that, and I know that many women have said to me, "Oh, I want to go and volunteer. I want to prevent, you know, this happening to others." And that is a true impulse. And and I always say that's good. You do that because
right.
what you're going to have to do is deal with yourself first.
right.
Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's absolutely. It's such a redemptive thing that God does with that experience, that abortion experience, is that he turns it around and uses that to motivate women to help others who have either had abortion who are right at that place where they might have one. And someone can come along and say, "Well, that's probably not the best."
Don't.
Please
the best don't.
Avenue to take. Exactly. Okay.
Nancy Kingston, Executive Director at Atlanta Pregnancy Resource Center. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Thanks so much for being part of the program tonight. If you missed it, join us at cradlemyheart.org for the podcast tomorrow.
Section of the mountain clearly marked with a skull and crossbone sign, which meant if you ski here, you may die. He went anyway, and a massive avalanche buried him in a snowy grave. He deliberately chose to go out of bounds, ignoring the warnings and paying with his life. That's actually a picture of the spiritual condition for all of us. The Bible says every one of us has lived outside of God's boundaries. The Bible gives God's sobering bottom line. There is no one righteous, not even one. God says our sin deserves death, which means eternal separation from Him. But Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place, paying the penalty for every sinful thing you've ever done. He alone offers you forgiveness and eternal life. Like the sign on the ski slope that day, God's warning says, "You choose." To learn more, call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM or visit needhim.org.